Om Shanti. With great pleasure, we welcome Jasuben among us. Jasuben is 25 years in knowledge, stays in London, is under Dadi Janki, and basically takes care of Murli translation in English. Basically, English translation, written translation. They are basically three sisters, three Lokik sisters in knowledge and in center. Jasuben herself, Nirmala Ben from UK, and also Aruna Ben, who's in Kuwait. And today we'll be listening to Jasuben on the topic, being Maya proof.
Good morning to everyone. Being with Baba at the confluence age is a great fortune in itself. Takes us away from the outside world. And we all know what the conditions of the world outside are. It's a great fortune of being a Brahman at the confluence age. Secondly, great fortune to be here at Christmas time and then time of the New Year. The time of making new resolutions, making a new start, a fresh start. And so giving a boost to whatever it is that we want to achieve for ourselves. And being able to do that in Madhuban itself. Madhuban being the land of tapasya, the land of blessings. And so to be able to give ourselves that injection, the boost of whatever it is that we're aspiring to achieve. What is a better place than Madhuban to actually give us a kickstart in the new year? So we're feeling very fortunate being in Madhuban at this time. And I'm sure all of you will also agree. Yes, you have to make a little bit of a sacrifice and renounce the comforts of your home and the warmth of the place that you are in to tolerate the cold here. But what you receive in return, I think, is a lot more. So bearing the cold is nothing really. At the confluence age, Baba gives us such great fortune. First and foremost, for us to be able to recognize our own selves. Being in the world outside, before coming to Baba, I don't think any of us actually had any idea of who we were. Most of the time struggling to actually find out who we are and what our purpose was. But coming to Baba then, Baba gives us a very clear mirror. Baba gives us our own introduction and tells us who we are. Who could be a better person to tell us that than the Almighty Authority Himself? The things that Baba is telling us, every day in the Murli, Baba tells us so many things of our own self-respect. First and foremost, Baba calling us His sweet children. Do I accept myself to be a sweet child? To have that sweetness within myself, to be sharing that sweetness with others. Baba says, I'm the long lost and now found child. The one who was lost many years ago, when that child is found, then there's so much happiness experienced. When you've been away from your family and then you come back into your family, there's so much happiness experience, not just by yourself, but the whole family welcomes you with a big heart. And so here, Baba is telling us so many wonderful things about our own self. First question to all of you. Do I wholeheartedly accept what Baba is telling me? Do I accept what Baba is telling me? Every day Baba has so many points of self-respect. Baba is raising me from here up to here. The vision that Baba has of me is actually up here. Baba wants to see all of us up there. How much am I able to accept that vision of myself? Accepting that vision and at the same time then being able to live with that vision. Knowing and understanding is one thing, and then living it practically is something else. So the first question is, why am I not able to accept that? Baba is telling us so many wonderful things. In fact, the things that Baba tells us, no one else tells us. Other people tell us things to actually bring us down. If one person is flattering us, another person will totally say something against it to bring us down. This is human nature. But then Baba is telling us so many wonderful things to elevate us. I'm not able to accept that because I'm not seeing myself in that way. If I haven't accepted myself totally to be in the confluence age, I'm still living in the iron age, then I'll have that same vision of my own self as I did before. And in that, I'm seeing that I was totally caught up in so many different kinds of Maya. In fact, the description, the definition of Maya that Baba gives us, we never understood that to be any kind of Maya. In the world outside, seeking recognition, achieving something, reaching your highest goal, all of these things are said to be normal things. This is part of life and this is what each one is aspiring for. And yet these are the things that bring so much Maya. Because the goals that we set for ourselves on the Laukik path and the goals that we set for ourselves here are totally different. Here our main aim is to become completely free from what the world is actually wanting to aspire. They're wanting name, fame, recognition and all of that. And here Baba's asking us to go beyond name and form, to go beyond any kind of position. Because Baba himself has given us the highest position. The world cannot give us that same position. The position that the world gives us, they give us that today and tomorrow, they'll take it away from us. As Baba says, today you're given the chair, and tomorrow they'll want to throw you off the chair. But Baba is giving us the most comfortable seat, the throne, his heart throne. So how much am I able to be seated on Baba's heart throne? How much do I remain seated on Baba's heart throne? What is it that stops me from getting onto the throne in the first place? Being able to stabilize on the heart throne is another different matter, it's the second stage. But first of all, to be able to actually climb onto Baba's heart. To be able to climb onto Baba's heart, Baba's constantly giving us directions in the Murli every day. Every day's Murli has so many directions for us. And Baba's giving us all of those so that throughout the day we are constantly in connection with so many things, so many people which is outside of Baba's world. And so in the Murli, Baba's actually giving us the weapons to be able to deal with everything. But am I actually using those weapons? Baba gives us the knowledge, and knowledge is said to be a very powerful tool, a very powerful weapon. But that is only if I'm actually churning that knowledge and then using it in practical life. Otherwise, knowledge is just information. And as information, it doesn't carry the same power. But when I churn it and make it my own, it becomes an instrument, a tool for which I can actually fight Maya with. Throughout the day, after Amritvela and morning class, We're out on the battlefield. The world outside is a battlefield, isn't it? You never know what's going to come in front of you. The longer you're on this spiritual journey, the stronger you get on this journey, the more Maya is going to come to you. Correct? All right, anyone here sitting who's free from Maya? Sorry? Is anyone sitting here who is free from Maya? A long way to go to become completely Maya free. Daddy Prakashmani, one of the descriptions that always given of her is, like Baba says, for us to become completely free from desires, free from the knowledge of desires. In the same way, Dadi Kumarka, the title that she's always been given is, the one who's free from the knowledge of Maya. Totally free, totally beyond any kind of Maya. Where does Maya come from? Attachments? Mm-hmm. False identity, false beliefs of the self. Where else? Sorry? Old sanskars. Mm-hmm.
When the connection is disconnected.
Disconnected from Baba. Mm-hmm. From within. From ourselves. Maya is not actually a person or an identity that exists outside. But we actually create Maya. The first place that Maya comes in is within our mind. That's right. The first place is Maya coming within our mind and creating doubts. Creating doubts within the self. On the one hand, Baba is telling us such elevated, such beautiful things about ourselves. On the other hand, Maya is creating doubts within ourselves. Am I going to be able to achieve that? Baba is saying you're a carefree emperor, you have nothing to worry about. And on the other hand, Maya will bring so many thoughts that will create so much worry. You don't need to worry about anything, but yet the habit of worrying, that in itself will make you worry. There's no need for you to worry because Baba says he's responsible, he's taking care of everything. And yet, I will take on the responsibility myself, thinking I have to do everything, and then I'll end up carrying the burden of worrying. And so in this way, Maya is actually taking me more and more away from Baba and making me more and more hers. But Baba is wanting me to become completely ignorant of Maya. One is to have the awareness and the knowledge of Maya, as is always said for the soldiers. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And when you have the total tools, you have the instruments beforehand, then when Maya, the enemy, challenges you, then you're able to fight with her, deal with her, and attain victory in that way. But when she comes all of a sudden and you're not aware of her, what happens? When something happens suddenly, it's like you're taken aback. You don't know what to do then because you're not prepared for her. But Baba is actually giving us total knowledge, not just of our own self, but also of Maya, so that when she comes, we're aware of her and we're able to deal with her. Having knowledge within ourselves of what Maya is, that in itself is part of the problem, that part of the victory that we're able to achieve against Maya. If you don't know what Maya is, how can you fight her? And so to be able to recognize what Maya is, how can I recognize Maya? Being aware of the waste thoughts within the mind. The moment you become aware of what's going on in your mind, you're able to recognize to a certain extent that this is Maya in some form, because the waste thoughts, it takes you into a jungle of waste thoughts, and you don't know where you are. I always think Maya is such a jungle that you end up being totally somewhere different from where you started. You sit for meditation, you have the thought, I belong to Baba, I'm Baba's honest and responsible child, I'm Baba's this kind of child. You start having that kind of conversation, and then immediately, without even realizing it, you start off thinking, okay, I'm Baba's responsible child, and so you start thinking of your responsibilities, and then together with the responsibilities, you start thinking of everything else that you have to do as part of your responsibility, and then within that, all the competition arises also. You have this responsibility, you have to fulfill with this person, and then in that way you start thinking of that person, and in that way you end up completely different. It's like one thought leading you into another thought, and you don't even know where you've begun. And you end up somewhere totally far away. So Maya's task is to take you away from Baba. And she succeeds in this, because she's taken you away from your self-respect. She's taken you away from the position that Baba had given you. And instead you've ended up thinking about your roles and responsibilities with other people. I remember one Murali recently in which Baba was talking about even to think of another person, to have a thought of another person, is a great sin. And how often during the day do we end up thinking about all of those things with other people? Remembering this one did this one did that, and constantly just focusing on everything that's happened to me through other people. And how often do I think of what it is that Baba has done for me? In the morning you think about Baba, you have that beautiful conversation with Baba, and you empower yourself. You listen to the Murali and you empower yourself. But then after that, throughout the day, do I actually keep that connection with Baba again and again, so that I'm able to empower myself with what Baba is saying, rather than allowing myself to get disempowered by what other people are saying? This is also a form of Maya. Someone says something about me, and immediately I accept that as the truth. Baba has told me something wonderful about me. I'm not able to accept that. But someone else says something about me, and I instantly have 100% faith in that. What Baba says to me, I can't even accept it sometimes. And I question that. The highest authority is telling me something. Who better than him to tell me that? And I'm not able to accept that. And on the other hand, some person who doesn't even know me that well, they say something about me, and instantly I feel hurt, because I've taken it on board. The moment I take into myself what someone else is saying, I've given it that much power. And so this is in a way giving power to Maya also. And so rather than taking power from Baba and empowering myself and becoming strong in that way, I'm making myself weak by giving the power to Maya. So throughout the day, if you were to check yourself, how many times are you handing over your power to Maya? Ever counted? Ever thought of anything? From morning till night, even if you just take the basic 12 hours from 9 o'clock to 9 o'clock, within that time, how many times has Maya come in front of me and taken away all my power, taken total control of me, without me realizing it even? And I think that, yes, I am in total charge, I am in charge of myself. If I was in total charge of myself, then I would be in that state of intoxication. I would be in that state of total self-respect. And then within that, doesn't matter what others say, I would be totally free from that. It would be like water off a duck's back, because you're not affected by it. But the moment I'm affected by it, it means I've come off my stage of self-respect. I've come off that seat. And so to constantly be seated on that seat, That in itself is giving me power. The moment I get off the seat, the power is gone. Baba is always calling us the rulers, the emperors, the ones to be seated on the throne. But the moment I come off the throne, I have no longer any power. No one's going to listen to me. So even if Maya comes and I try to give orders to her, to tell her to go away, is she going to listen to me? I'm not seated on my throne, so how is she going to listen to me? If I'm speaking with that authority, being the ruler, being the emperor, then Maya will listen to me. But otherwise, I become the slave and Maya becomes the master. So just check throughout the day, how often do I become Maya's slave? On the one hand, to be experiencing the intoxication of being Baba's child. And together with being Baba's child, Baba's automatically giving us that authority and the position of being a master. Baba always says a child and a master. So seeing myself as a child, I also have the awareness of being the master, the one who is in total control of everything. And on the other hand, Maya becomes the master and makes me the slave. I'm sure no one wants to be in the position of being the slave, right? You can imagine what the condition of a slave is. Someone who has no position, no power, but just constantly doing what others are telling them to do. And so Maya then also tells me what to do. I'm not listening to Baba, I'm listening more to Maya. If I really think about what Maya is something that's totally lifeless. But I make it powerful by giving it life. Baba wants me to be the conqueror of Maya, and instead, I give life to Maya, making Maya that much more powerful and becoming all the more weaker within myself. So Baba has given us a very beautiful place to be seated in Baba's heart, to be seated on Baba's heart throne. If I am constantly under that canopy, under Baba's canopy, the canopy of Baba's love, then Maya is not going to be able to do anything. But what happens is, instead of experiencing God's love, I'm seeking love from the world outside. I'm seeking recognition and acknowledgement from the world outside. Baba is constantly acknowledging me with everything that I'm achieving, because no one else knows better than Baba what I have achieved, what I am able to achieve and what I have achieved. And yet, instead of that, I'm looking for recognition and appreciation from people around me. I feel that much more comfortable when someone I know says something good to me about myself. What Baba has told me has been forgotten, and what the person next to me is sitting or who I'm working with, I want to hear from them that yes, you've done very well. What you did is very good. Is that right? You're cooking something and you want some appreciation that yes, it was a very lovely dinner, we enjoyed that. You do something creative and you want everyone to acknowledge that it was beautiful. But I'm getting the best acknowledgement, the most powerful acknowledgement from Baba every day, without my doing anything. And I can't hear that, because my ears are blocked. My ears are blocked because I'm seeking what people are saying, rather than what Baba is saying. So often throughout the day we become deaf and dumb to Baba, and we become that much more powerful in our hearing and seeing about Maya, what she thinks of us, we have that much more appreciation of than what Baba is saying. But just imagine, if you are seated constantly under Baba's canopy of protection, is there anything that can touch you? Is there anything in the world that can come against Baba's protection? There isn't. But I have to constantly keep myself under that protection. It's so easy to just come away from under that protection. Every day so many things come in front of us, and we very easily slip away from that. Because we actually haven't recognized what Baba's love is and what it can do for us. At Amrit Vela, Baba is giving us such power to become the powerful ones who can face no matter what kind of storms come throughout the day. That is the time for recharging ourselves. Am I actually doing that and recharging so that in the day I'm able to face Maya? Baba often speaks of Maya as the entertaining games. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Constantly all these kinds of games that come, and yes, we're amused by it when Baba speaks about it, but really these are the things that we're constantly battling with. Baba often sees the games of the children at Amrit Vela, saying he's seeing us all in the different poses. If I see myself in that pose and at that time, am I amused or am I actually in that pose enjoying myself? Baba sees us in so many different poses. When Baba gives that description, I laugh at that. But often I am in that same position. Am I able to take myself away from that? And just seeing how Baba says sometimes that you are the ones who are constantly making faces. When Maya comes in front of you, we're making faces. To be able to have a constant face, to be able to remain cheerful and smiling all the time and not be affected by anything that comes in front of us. To be able to have that kind of stability so that no matter what comes in front of you, you don't fluctuate in your stage. There's no ups and downs. Often Baba speaks of the tug of war. On one side Baba is pulling, on the other side Maya is pulling. And what happens? We end up being pulled towards Maya more because of the attractions. Everything that Maya shows us is very attractive, and it's pulling us towards itself because we've been living with that for 63 births. Something that you've been so comfortable with, you don't want to let go of it. The moment you let go of something that you're comfortable with, that you're feeling so easy with, then you feel a little bit uncomfortable. But if you think about what it is that Baba is giving in return of what you're actually renouncing, it's a lot more. Maya is only offering us temporary things, but those are the things that have actually brought us down. Do I recognize it in that way? Achieving all the glory and all the fame of something that you actually do in the Laukik world. Yes, you've got that fame and position now, but then the moment, everything is very short-lived, and that moment of glory is gone. After that, no one wants to know you, because every day there's new invention, something new coming up, and so what you had done, it's actually become second class, and so after that, no one wants to know you. At that time, what happens? The recognition is gone, and so you feel disappointed within yourself. At this time, no one is putting you in that highest position. And so you feel disheartened within yourself. But instead of wanting temporary achievements like that to give you your highest achievement, just think of the achievements. Just think of the achievements that Baba is actually giving us. Often we think that this is a tough journey. The spiritual journey is very tough. When you come, then you have the love of the family, you have Baba's love, and everything feels so easy because you've got all that intoxication and everything. And then after about a year or 2 years, then you begin to recognize what Maya is. Until then you didn't even know that there is such a thing as Maya. And then you begin to get different forms of Maya. And as you grow stronger and as you grow older in the Gyan, then Maya comes in so many more different ways. I remember when I first came to Madhuban in 83, end of 83, at that time, end of 83, beginning of 84, and then the conferences were happening. But I remember a description being given during the conference, especially when the international guests were coming. They're coming to a place of tapasya where it's so remote that it has no connection with any of the world outside. In those days, I think telephone was the only thing, and even that just a local telephone, one telephone in the telephone booth. And going to this place, totally cut off from everywhere else, and going to that place for a retreat, so that there's no connection with any of the world outside. And they're going away for about 5 days. So thinking that they're totally free of whatever's happening in the world outside for 5 days. And so it doesn't matter what is happening in the world outside, there's no knowledge of it. You're just sitting by yourself in isolation on the top of the mountain and enjoying yourself in this retreat. And compare that to now, the first form of Maya that is in front of everyone, the mobile phones. People say they're going away for a retreat, and so they're going to isolate themselves. But everyone is isolated in their own world. It's like everyone has their own world within their mobile phones and their laptops and computers, and totally cut off. On the one hand, you're totally cut off from everyone else, and on the other hand, you're totally connected to the world outside, whatever is happening out there. So your purpose of coming here to do tapasya and to be able to go deeper within yourself to experience that closeness with Baba, is that able to be fulfilled then? I've come here to be with Baba, to be with my own self, to be with the family, because this is the only place we actually get to experience the international family. And yet, we're together in class, and after that, each one is in their own world, everyone doing whatever, because it's become such a fast world, everyone is just so caught up in what it is that they have to do. And all of that is just physically what we have to do. I remember when I first came here in those years, we used to have 2 hour, 3 hour puttis. From 9 o'clock to 12:30, it would be just total silence putti. Very powerful, sitting on the floor even. Now we have the chairs and everything, so comfortable. In those days, we used to be sitting on the floor doing hatha. Some people might say that that is hatha yoga, but that kind of hatha putti felt so comfortable. Because really, the meditation that you experience sitting on the floor and enjoying that stability, and then sitting on the chair, it's like you could be sitting at home and just lounging around in the chair and trying to have yoga in that position. It's a totally different feeling. So thinking that even just sitting here on the chair, Maya can come in so many different ways. I'm sitting here, but my mind is wandering somewhere else. I'm thinking about what I have to do next once I go from this class. I'm thinking about who I have to meet, what I have to go out and buy. And so all of these things are also different forms of Maya. And so rather than enjoying the present moment, being with Baba, being with the family, I'm living in the future. And living in the future, I'm not making the most of the present. And this in itself is taking away so much of my energy. And then I say, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling drained. Any wonder? So we come here to be recharged. And when we go back, we need another holiday to actually get back to our normal state. But if we're actually to balance everything out in the present moment, what I am doing now, if that is balanced with what I have to do practically, what I have to do spiritually within myself, then I find that I won't be having any of that maya of what I have to do once I get back. Because even that in itself also becomes a big maya for me, that I've taken this holiday and then what happens is I feel I haven't been able to achieve what I wanted to. And so I've not taken anything here. When I go back, then even that, I end up going into the past then. So I'm constantly living between the past and the future and not making the most of the present. And so being able to take benefit of the present moment, being able to achieve the purpose for which I have actually come here, that in itself is a great victory. And if throughout the day I keep on accumulating the victories, it may be something very small, very minor, very insignificant, but yet these little victories help me to recharge myself in such a way that when anything serious happens, anything big comes in front of me, then I'm able to feel empowered enough to be able to face it and challenge it. Otherwise, something happens and I'm immediately thrown off ground because I think, how can I deal with this? And then without having that energy within myself, without having the power within myself to be able to face that challenge, I actually end up becoming totally weak, totally powerless, and then I don't know what to do. But if I've actually empowered myself enough with all of these little victories, then doesn't matter what happens in front at that time, I will be able to face it. I'll have the power to be able to face it. And then that in itself is giving me 90% of the victory. How to deal with that situation is a step later on. But to be able to have enough power within myself to stand there and say, yes, I can face this, that in itself is part of the victory. And so in this way, I'm able to conquer Maya and become the conqueror that Baba wants me to be. But that only happens if I've been accumulating that victory over a period of time. If I'm constantly feeling disempowered and feeling that I've lost the battle, then there's no way that I could move any further from there. So if I really see everything that Baba has given me all the tools. For me to be able to keep that tool with myself constantly. See, in the picture of Vishnu, am I keeping those ornaments with me? Because those are basically my instruments, the weapons with which to fight Maya. So what are those ornaments? The discus, the mace, the lotus, and the conch shell. Throughout the day, there's enough opportunity for me to be using all of those for myself and for others. Practicing the knowledge. The first knowledge that Baba's given me is I am a soul. Yeah? Together with that, Baba's given me information of the type of soul that I am. Each soul is individual within the self. But yet, within each soul, each one has its own special identity. For me to recognize that identity, to recognize my own speciality, and then to be able to live with that, so that I'm empowering myself in that way. Once I'm empowering myself with that, I am a powerful soul. To be able to feel that power within myself. If I already feel powerful, then no matter what comes in front of me, it's going to be powerless. Because if I am powerful, the other thing can also be just as powerful, or it can be powerless. So if I see myself in that way, then I'm able to face whatever kind of Maya comes in front of me. But otherwise, if I just think I am a soul, and I keep on thinking of myself just, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul. And I don't have any other identity within that, then what happens is I get bored with that. And then in that, together with that boredom, when any kind of maya comes, I don't have the power to face, I don't have the power to challenge you. Then am I going to be victorious? No way. So to use one point of knowledge throughout the day, and then every day there's a different point of knowledge, and in this way you keep on empowering yourself. This is using the conch shell, giving the knowledge to others, but when I'm giving the knowledge to others, it's just as much applicable to myself. So before I'm speaking it to others, I'm actually reminding myself of that and empowering myself. Using the mace of knowledge. The mace of knowledge is to empower the self. It's shown to be a very heavy instrument, but it's something with which you knock down maya. Maya can come to you in any form, but you have the instrument with which to knock her down. So if I am holding the mace, then I'll be able to knock her down. But if I don't have the mace in my hands, how can I knock down maya? And so to realize that I have that power of knowledge. One is the speech of knowledge, the other is the power of knowledge. I have that within my hands to be able to face maya. And then the discourse of self-realization. On the path of devotion, they've shown the discourse to cut off the throat of the demons. The demons are not anything outside, but the demons within our own mind. The demons of the negative thoughts, the demons of ordinary thoughts, the demons of doubts within the self, lack of faith. So all of these demons can be completely destroyed with the discourse of self-realization. Baba's often asking us to keep on constantly spinning the discourse of self-realization. How long does it take us to go around that cycle? The cycle itself is 5,000 years and it is 84 births. How long does it take me to spin that discourse? 1 second. Baba say you constantly have to keep on spinning the discourse of self-realization. So how long am I taking to spin that, go around that? You start off spinning the discus, you start off in the golden age, and what happens? You're in the golden age, and immediately something happens, and you're taken away from the golden age to the iron age. So your cycle has become so much shorter. Baba's wanting us to be in that stage, in that space of the spinning the discus, so that we're constantly able to feel ourselves in the different stages. But even within those different stages, during each of that period, the feeling that we're actually experiencing, because of the being the one who's there from the very beginning of the cycle, then you're there at the beginning of every period. And so in this way, it is the highest feeling that you have of that particular age. But how much am I able to keep myself in that space, to be in that highest space? Like there are the silver aged souls, there are the golden aged souls, there's the copper aged souls, the iron aged souls. But even within those particular souls, I'm the one who's the highest. In the golden age, I'm the highest golden aged soul. So then to be able to experience the energy of that, when I'm spinning the discus, what Baba wants is for me to be constantly in that space, that I'm constantly feeling myself to be a golden aged soul who's totally empowered. So then within the golden age, I'm constantly being at the highest point of the golden age. Then when I go into the silver age, within the silver age is the age of the warriors, but within that, there's also the same amount of greatness. And so Baba's wanting me to remain in that space, the space of greatness that there is. So to experience this spinning of the discus of self-realization in that way, to experience your glory throughout the whole cycle. Because you are the ones who are actually experiencing the full cycle of 84 births. Others just come in at that time, and so they're not even fully aware of the whole cycle. And so Baba's making us aware of the beauty of every age. And to be able to spend time experiencing that at the present moment. So when you're doing that, then you're so much caught up in the feeling of the beauty of that age that you don't realize whatever else is happening in front of you. And in this way, you're able to keep your mind free from everything else. Now we say, empty mind is a devil's workshop. If the mind is empty, then it's going to have all kinds of thoughts. And so rather than to keep the mind empty, you keep it busy spinning the discus in this way. It's not necessary that you keep on just thinking about these things, because when you have one thought leads to another thought, and before you know it, you ended up in the jungle like I explained before. But what Baba's wanting us to do is to be in that feeling, to constantly be in the feeling of that space. And Baba's told us the beauty of that age. So when I'm in the copper age, it's not that I've gone through half the cycle and now I've reached half the cycle's already gone. If you think of it in that way, then you feel tired already because you feel you've come through so much of the journey so far. And so there is a feeling of tiredness. But if you think about being in the copper age is the beginning of so many things. It's the beginning of bhakti, it's the beginning of renunciation, it's the beginning of the worship and all of that. And imagine I'm the one who's starting all of that. If I am starting something, then that's the beginning of something, it's a new creation. And where something new is happening, then there's so much energy there. And so with that energy, you don't feel restless, you don't feel tired, you don't see anything else that's happening, because you see the newness that is there. You see in the intoxication of the newness that's there. And so automatically the things of Maya are put aside. Then the things don't come into your mind. Then there's no more Maya about. I've come so far down and now there isn't that much recognition of myself, because now it's the glory of the corporated souls who've just come. And so you feel, okay, there isn't that much recognition of myself, and so you feel disheartened. None of that happens, because you're still seeing yourself as the one who's beginning something. In the Iron Age also, similarly, in the same way that there's so many things that are being created, in that you're actually giving power to the Iron Age souls. So thinking of that way and spinning the discus in that way, then it's possible that you keep your minds engaged so much in just this that it's free from anything else. So when the mind is free from all of this negative and waste, then this is like using the discus of self-realization. And then once you've kept your mind free from everything else in this way, you're able to remain detached. When it's detached from everything else, then you come to that stage of the lotus. The lotus flower, that's the symbol of purity and detachment. So because the mind is free from everything else, then it's not affected by anything. So you're able to experience the beauty. Seeing the picture of the lotus there, seeing the beauty of it, then you're able to remain in that stage of the lotus, experiencing total detachment, total purity, because you're not affected by anything. The first sign of impurity is being influenced by something. You're not even in action or anything, but your mind begins to get influenced by something. And so the first stage of impurity comes within the thoughts, and then it's put into action. So constantly becoming free from all of these things. So spinning the discus of self-realization, experiencing the self to be like the lotus. And so using just these four weapons that Baba has given us. And then that is actually achieving our final stage. Our final stage of perfection. If you constantly keep in front of you the stage of perfection, then automatically the things that Maya brings in front of you, those are the things that's going to bring you to imperfection. So not to pay any notice to any of that, not to give any attention to that, then you're able to keep yourself in that stage of perfection. Maya's duty is to take you away from that. And if I'm keeping myself, keeping that goal in front of me or what it is that I want to achieve, then easily I'm able to become the conqueror of Maya because I'm not actually giving any energy, any attention to Maya. I'm not giving that power to Maya. So then it's in my own hands to attain victory over Maya. There's no way that Maya could actually do anything or touch me in any way or influence me in any way. Because in front of me, my vision is constantly towards my goal. If my vision is not on the goal, then it's going to be distracted with the side scenes. And the side scenes are all those things of Maya. So once I'm focused straight ahead, then there's no distractions. Then there's no way that Maya is going to pull me away. If you think about Maya, there's so many different things. On the field of service also, when there's two or three people working together, one person gets opportunity to do so much more, and another person doesn't get the same opportunity, then that also becomes a Maya for others, and they think that I'm not being given a chance to do that service. But if you think about the service that Baba is wanting to be accomplished, it doesn't matter whether it's anything physical or mental. If I don't have anything physical to do, it doesn't matter, but Baba's given me that space to be able to serve with my mind. And so even keeping my mind occupied in doing service through it, allowing my mind to just constantly feel those good wishes, this in itself is becoming a conqueror of Maya. Because I'm not allowing myself to be influenced by anything negative, but instead focusing on keeping my mind totally filled with good wishes. Especially to have good wishes when I'm seeing others moving forward and I think that I'm being left behind. Anyone free from this kind of Maya? You see others moving forward and you think, well, why am I not being given the same opportunity? Why can't I move forward? But in fact, the beauty is in allowing others to go forward. To have that humility to let others go first. In fact, you find you end up being given more chances when you allow others to go forward. If you're constantly wanting to be in the front, then you're the one that's facing all the challenges. You're the ones who are going to end up with that much more opposition. But if you're allowing others to go forward, you're a little bit at the back. Like Baba said, he has to experience everything before it comes to the children. So Baba had to face all the tests and all the storms and everything before anything else could happen. It's only then that Baba could inform the children of what it is like. And so Baba's going through all the tests and everything before they come to us. And so in that way, Baba is not unknown of everything that comes to us. And yet Baba says, even after all of that, it's possible to be victorious. It's possible for you to overcome Maya. And so Baba achieved all of that. And so what I'm doing is nothing more than what Baba's done. So I feel empowered in just thinking that Baba's already gone through all of this. And this is just something that I'm following in the footsteps. And so if I think in that way that I'm following Baba's footsteps, then automatically I'm already winning against Maya, because then Maya has no power. Because when I'm following Baba's footsteps, then Maya cannot come to me. And so this in a way becomes a protection for me from Maya. Because then when I'm following Baba's footsteps and I'm seeing what Baba has done, and Baba has totally renounced so many of those things. Baba has never said me first. Baba's always put everyone other first. Baba's always put the children first. And so in this way then I'm able to actually verify myself against what Baba has done. And in this way then I automatically bring myself in a position where I'm actually away from everyone else and not being so much in the forefront and having that kind of Maya. So really on the field of service you get so many different types of Maya. And then I was also seeing when there's two people, two instruments in a center, and one instrument is constantly in the forefront with all the students and everyone. They're getting so much attention from the students. And the other instrument is kind of in the background, and they're not so much in the foreground. And you see that the one who's constantly having to do all the work is thinking, how come I'm having to do all the physical work and the other one's getting all the limelight? But I also think that even in this, there is victory and there's benefit, because at this time Baba's come to make us all-rounders. And so each one of us has to do all types of service. And in fact, the one who is actually staying in the background, that person is more in Baba's vision and focus than the one who's in the foreground. Because the one who's in the foreground is actually, although they're in the vision of Baba, they're also in the vision of everyone else. And so what they're actually accepting is more the vision of the students and everyone else rather than Baba's vision. The one who's in the background is totally so much more nourishing the self with Baba's vision rather than what everyone else is giving them. And so how am I nourishing myself? How am I sustaining myself? Is it from the glory and the fame that I'm getting from the students? Or is it directly from Baba? So if I'm actually surviving on what I'm receiving from the students, then today I have it, tomorrow they'll be gone, and so all of this will be also gone. So rather than becoming a conqueror of Maya in that way with the support of that family, let me just take the support of Baba and be a conqueror of Maya in that way. Then I feel that no matter what happens, those particular supports, Baba's support will never be taken away. The support from everyone else can be taken away, but in this way, I'm totally supported and protected by Maya, and then nothing can take me away from Baba. So many different things that can easily pull me away from Baba. But I make sure that I'm constantly connected with Baba. And in that way, I'm able to feel totally a conqueror of Maya. I was just wondering if any of you might have any experiences of any particular type of Maya that came to you and how you actually overcame that. Because living in the centers, being at work, living a double life, being a spiritual life and also the Laukik life, then within that there are so many obstacles, and then trying to balance between the two also, this in itself becomes a Maya. How to actually lead a balanced life. One of the wonders is we never know what's going to happen next. And as I mentioned earlier, anything can happen at any time. Maya can come at any time. And the older you go in Gyan, the more Maya comes. And so in that way, it's like from any direction, Maya can come. And even to the Maharathis, it's not that Maya will come only to the ones who are newly born, or the ones who are only 1 or 2 years in Gyan, but even those who are in Gyan 30, 40 years. In fact, I was sharing with someone yesterday, not wanting to mention any names, but I was just thinking that it's amazing what Baba is saying, and we've been hearing that for so many years in recent Avyakta Murali seasons. But Baba is giving the same direction to even senior instruments. And then we're thinking that there's so much that's happening here that sometimes you feel, even after 40 years, 50 years in Gyan, and that they're having to face the same thing also. It's like there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of a comparison, and we would think that that's happening only in the younger generation, but we see that in the older generation also. And so I was thinking that no one actually is free from Maya until the very end. And so yes, drama plays a very beautiful part in that accepting everything as it comes, then you're not able to pinpoint towards anyone else what's happening, because at the end of the day, Baba has given us beautiful knowledge of the drama, that everything in drama is benevolent. Everything is happening as it's meant to be. And so in this way you actually free yourself from any kind of thoughts about what is happening. And each one is playing their part, playing their role to the best that they can. And so in this way you actually free yourself from Maya of anything, because Baba often says each one is playing their own particular role and they're playing it to the best ability that they can. And so no one can play their role any better than anyone else. And so it doesn't matter what kind of a role it is that they're playing, be it one of being someone in the highest position, be with someone with any kind of ego or whatever, but it is their role and they're playing it, and so why should I have any thoughts about it? When I start thinking of this one is being egoistic or this one is being familiar with this one, then immediately I'm creating further Maya there. And in this way, not just Maya, but I'm also creating karmic accounts. And so why should I want to create further karmic accounts thinking about someone else when they're playing their role in their best ability? Instead, let me play my role in the best way that I can. And in this way, I make the drama even more beautiful, because the drama is made of beautiful actors. And so if I'm playing my role in the best way, then there's not going to be any kind of doubts or any kind of comparisons with anyone else. But drama often leads us into comparison, because you're seeing all the actors on the stage at the same time. But rather than comparison, it's a time to be enjoying the beauty of each one. And this is what the Confluence Age is all about, appreciating and seeing the beauty of each and every one. So when you're actually in that mode of appreciation, then you're freeing yourself from the mode of correction and criticism. And this is where Maya comes in. When you're in that energy of appreciation, then automatically the mind is in a positive mind frame. But when you're thinking of someone with that criticism, then automatically it's the comparison and comparing and bringing more Maya in there. So there's no way that you become free from Maya then. No wonder Baba is telling us to put a full stop in everything. The moment you put a full stop, you become free from everything. Anyone else wants to share? I just add a bit to that, because often sometimes you have the feeling that the role that you're playing is not as important as someone else's role, only because the role that you have is of being in the background. But like Baba so often explained, that the whole thing, the whole family of the Confluence Age is like a machinery. And within the machinery, in the factory implant, every screw is important. And if one screw was missing, then the whole machinery would stop working. And then if the machinery is not working, you're not able to achieve the results that you want. And so in that way, to give importance to each and everyone, every soul. That doesn't matter how big or how little each one's role is, but it is just as important. And this is the vision that Baba has for all of us, that each one is just as important. And that's why Baba is able to give so much love to each and everyone, regardless of whatever they're doing. Because if we really look at ourselves, then none of us are 100% perfect. And in fact, often when we start to look at ourselves, we see more negative than positive, because the nature has become that of just seeing the negative. And there's so many flaws within each one of us. But yet, when we start comparing ourselves with others, then we think that it's either being egoistic that I'm better than that one, or otherwise you feel inferior, thinking that you're not as good as anyone else. And you think that the role that you've been given is not as good. But to realize that everything is important, and like Baba says, and I remember receiving an email, and I'm sure many of you would have received it also, but it's about the college students, and one of the questions in that test paper was to actually give the name of the cleaner, the janitor there. And one of the students then asked the principal, the examiner, is this question going to be counted? And they thought that it was just a trick, joke question, that it wouldn't really matter. But the examiner said that it would be counted, because it's just as important to know all the people around that are involved in maintaining something. And so the importance of, doesn't matter how high the job is or how low level the job is, but each job is just as important, like seeing a place like a Madhuban. If you didn't have the cleaners, this place wouldn't be clean. Then who would want to come to this place and enjoy it? Who would enjoy it? So there's just as much importance of the ones who maintain in the cleanliness as the ones who are giving the lectures, or the ones who are in the kitchen preparing the food, the ones who are cutting the food. So it doesn't matter what kind of a role I'm playing, everything is just as important. And in fact, the variety of roles you're playing, the more enjoyment, the more benefit you get, because at the end of the day, Baba's polishing us in all directions. And so Baba's wanting us, like in yesterday's blessing, Baba said you have to claim 100% in all four subjects, not just one subject. And so if I'm only concentrating on giving lectures, and then when I have to go to the kitchen, I'm not even prepared, I don't even know how to prepare food, how am I going to sustain myself? You sustain someone spiritually, but then you also have to sustain them physically. And if I'm not able to do that, then definitely I'm not going to get blessings. So to be able to be an all-rounder and being able to do all kinds of jobs in that way, that's what Baba's wanting. And in this way, I'm claiming blessings from everyone.
How do you remain detached without becoming indifferent? What's the difference to you between detachment and non-attachment and indifference? Because I sometimes feel that I experience situations where people, it's convenient to become indifferent and they call it detachment without really having any regard or care for what's taking place in front of them or for family members who may be suffering or and then you consider the karma and all the cycles. But to you, what is the difference between detachment and indifference?
This question is similar to a question that came up in front of me yesterday when I was doing some translation. And in that, Baba was talking about being careless and carefree. And one is being careless, thinking that everything's fine and taking things for granted, everything's going to work out. And the other one is being carefree, thinking that Baba is responsible, Baba's going to take the responsibility, and I'm just an instrument. So where I am the instrument, then it becomes my responsibility to actually make sure that everything is going to work out fine. So it's not that I'm taking the responsibility and ownership of actually doing it, but making sure that it happens. So in the same way we're talking about detachment and indifference, it's like I am detached, but yet I am also fully aware at the same time. Where I'm indifferent, then it's the feeling of couldn't care less and I can't be bothered. And I think where you're saying that some people just in a way pass the buck thinking that it's not my duty and I have to be totally detached so that I don't incur any further karmic account. That is the stage that Baba's not wanting us. That's not the kind of detachment that Baba wants. When you're being detached, at the same time, Baba's wanting us to be just as loving, because Baba often speaks of being loving and detached. And again, some of the specialities of the ancestor souls, they're always being loving and detached. So that they're being detached in the sense that they're not getting involved in whatever is happening, but yet they're seeing it from the outside and they're fully aware of what is happening. And because they're detached, they're fully aware of what's happening. And in that instance, they're able to empower the soul by giving them extra love. But they don't get attached in that because they're able to maintain the detachment. So one is being aware of everything that's happening, seeing it from outside. And one is totally engrossed in that. And then when you're engrossed in that, you can't separate yourself from it. So I think this is the two that you're talking about.
I think it's the difference is when you say you are able to give love at the same time as remain detached. Because when, say, in your Lokic family, like the talk yesterday about the responsibility towards the father and the mother still remains there.
Yeah.
It's so easy, I think, sometimes in this time to just say, well, it's their karma. And I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
They can work it out.
Mm.
But that can oftentimes be indifferent without love.
Baba's never said for us to not have any kind of mercy for anyone. So when you see someone suffering, then one is you begin to suffer at the same time. But rather than be in that stage, Baba's wanting us to have that mercy to be able to empathize with them, to understand their feeling of suffering, but then to give them that kind of comfort and reassurance without getting involved so that you don't end up suffering, but you're able to empower them and then you're able to relieve them of their suffering rather than thinking it's their karma. Yeah?
That's easy sometimes when it's someone who's so, say in your Lokic family. Mm. I find it not so easy to just detach from my family.
Mm.
And especially when somebody is deeply suffering, mm. and to remain detached with love and, you know, indifference would maybe serve me much better, but
okay.
I don't feel able to do that. I don't feel.
I think Baba's actually giving us the power to be able to serve the souls.
No, you answered the
yes.
question.
Yeah.
I'm just repeating it for
yes,
myself.
Yes.
Sorry.
Definitely. Yeah. That's why I always feel the path of spirituality is not, although Baba's saying each one is on their own individual journey, yet we are not isolated, and that's why in the beginning I said everyone to come together, because they're sitting all over, and I thought we're all together on the same journey, so it's a much more closer feeling being together. So each one on their own individual journey, but yet all of us going together, and that's why at the end everyone's going to go home together. We're not going to go home individually, and so everyone's suffering whatever each one's going through, then for us to be able to empathize with that and then help for each one to come away from that and then to go together with the feeling of love. That's what Baba's wanting us to achieve now. I was just thinking on this path, at any time anything can come in front of you. But what really helps us at the end of the day is the love of the family and the blessings that you've accumulated. The blessings you've accumulated really go a long way, because when you've been serving souls and you've been receiving the blessings of the family, then this is what's empowering you and allowing you to move forward in every situation that comes in front of you. And just seeing my spiritual journey, it's been just this that has allowed me to move forward, because there have been so many tests, there have been so many obstacles also. It's not a path where you're going to just go forward easily without any kind of movement, because we're all kind of ascending, and to reach to the top, sometimes you go to the tops, you go upwards, and sometimes you have to go downwards, and then you make your way upwards again. But through all of that, at the end of the day, holding one another's hands and being together and being part of the family, that is what's going to allow us to kind of move forward collectively. And then you feel comfortable within that journey, rather than feeling isolated that I'm all alone. This in itself becomes a maya, that there's no one who's understanding me, there's no one who's appreciating me, and so you begin to have this kind of maya within yourself also, because you feel lonely. And so rather than to get caught up in this kind of mindset and thinking that really no one understands me, if I'm working with everyone collectively, then I find that there's always someone who will say the right things for me to actually then come out of the space that I am in and for me to then move forward from there. No one wants to say anything more, then we will wind up here with 5 minutes of meditation. Anyone wants to share something? Okay, we'll have some meditation. Thank you all.